Arizona State University, and he had seen this email, and when we spoke, he signed right on, too, so it became a co-commission between the two bands. And so it was premiered in New Jersey and then again in Tempe,
Arizona.
And
this is the Ridgewood, you said?
Yeah, concert band. Yeah,
okay, in North Jersey. Yeah. Well, we're going to be hearing the two movements of this work right now.
And this is the Arizona State University performance.
Very good. Mm-hmm. So I hope you all enjoy it. This is music by my guest, Martha Mook.
Thank you.
Well, my guest, Martha Moak, is going to tell everyone what they just heard. Martha?
Well, that was the first and last movements of a piece called Xing, also known as Crossing, for electric viola and concert band. And that was a live performance with the Arizona State University Wind Symphony.
We're very good. Have you written other things with concert band, or is that...
Yes, that's led the way. I've actually written three pieces so far for concert band. Another piece that was commissioned by the University of St. Thomas called Skandas, and that's actually just for a concert band without me.
Oh, without you.
Without me.
Well, there was some improvisation you were talking about.
Yeah, for me, that's a really important element. Everything that I write, whether it's for me as a soloist, a small ensemble, or even with a large ensemble like concert band or orchestra, I always include some level of improvisation. And partly because I'm a classically trained musician, and I know what it's like for classical musicians when they're faced with the word improvisation. In fact,
his hands start shaking.
Well, it's kind of a joke. It's how, you know, the fastest way to get a classical musician to stop playing is to ask them to improvise. And
I'll have to remember that.
Yes.
Yes.
So what I do is I work it into the compositions in such a way that it's really it's low impact, in a way that they don't have to think exactly what notes or that they're going to play the right notes. It really is coming from the inside, and I work with them a little bit to demonstrate possibilities of how to do it. And in this particular performance, in fact, I think there was a mallet player, a trombone player, and a bassoon player who had never improvised before, but she welcomed the opportunity, and she got up there, and she was amazing, and she felt so great after doing that, and I think that put her on a new route.
Sounds great. Well, we'll be back with my guest in just a moment.
Did you know that you can donate your car to WPRB? We are now partnering with Charitable Adult Rides and Services, CARS, a nationally acclaimed car nonprofit donation center, to make sure that your tax-deductible car donation goes to a good cause. Plus, a portion of the proceeds comes back to WPRB. The process is simple. Pull that jalopy over right now and call 855-500-RIDE, and CARS will arrange the rest, including pickup. Again, that's 855-500-7433, and you can also visit them on the web at careasy.org/WPRB. That's careasy.org/WPRB.
Well, we are going to go now to a composition by another composer. Actually, this is a work, Martha, written for you. Mm-hmm. We listen now to Muckstuck by Alvin Singleton, and it was written in 1999. And it was interesting because just yesterday, when I was putting this program together, I started doing searching on other recordings of yours. I thought just for fun, it would be fun to kind of bring something out. And I looked at that. I said, oh, my gosh. I have that somewhere. And I started looking. Actually, it wasn't too bad. I found it quite quickly. But I thought this would be kind of a fun thing. I listened to it, and this would be perfect. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you discovered it. So after I started writing music for myself, I thought it would be great to have more pieces, and I happened to know quite a few composers.
Yeah.
So I asked my composer friends, would you like to write a piece for me? And I had people coming over, like Alvin came over, sat on the floor of my studio, and we experimented. Leroy Jenkins came over to my studio.
Oh.
He wrote a piece for me, which I'm going to be recording actually next month. And Tanya Leon and Dave Soldier and Victoria Bond, numbers of Laura Cartman,
wonderful.
A wonderful film composer. So I did two complete concerts of works that were written for me. And a few of them have been recorded, and I'm going back in to the studio to record.
Yeah, you should do a whole bunch of them, a whole recording.
Yeah, it's long overdue, but I'm determined to go ahead and do it. So Alvin's is so far the only piece that composer that's written for me that's commercially available. And it's a beautiful piece. It's got a little jazz inflection, plenty of room for improvisation, and I've played it quite a lot. And I always enjoy it. I wish maybe he could have picked a different title for it, but that's okay.
I see modesty. Modesty. But I have to say, it's a wonderful piece, and we hear it now. This is Muckstuck by my guest. No, by my guest. It'll be performed by my guest. And it's music of Alvin Singleton. were just listening to Muckstuck, a composition of Alvin Singleton that was composed for my guest, Martha Muck, and she was our performer on the electric five-string viola. Well, we are now in for a very exciting moment. Martha is going to play live in the studio. Martha, what are you going to be playing?
So I'm going to play some excerpts from a piece that I wrote a couple of years ago. It was commissioned and written for the Verses interpretation. It was an improv festival in Prague, and it's called Dreaming in Sound. It was a big multimedia piece. It was about an hour long, and it had interactive visuals and sounds that went all in circles, and it was quite involved. But I've scaled it down to do some excerpts, some highlights, as it were, from Dreaming in Sound.
So, let's hear it. This is my guest, Martha Muck, and she is live in the WPRB studio. Thank you. Well, that was a performance by my guest, Martha Mook. Martha, are you going to be coming down and joining me? Going from performer to speaker,
I guess. I am. I'm back.
I mean, now, the thing about it, and I would say this would have been an incredible thing to have been able to done live with the video as well.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me now, if you can put this into a couple of sentences, what was going on back here, you know, with the equipment and what have you? Just in general for novices, let's say.
So,
I'm seeing, and I know, of course, about some of this stuff. But.
Right. You know, there's pictures on my website, and we'll post pictures on your channel, on your page here. And because I'm playing a Yamaha 5-string electric viola that it looks like a little bit of a cutaway. I think it's a pretty sexy instrument. And that is actually going through a bunch of pedals on the floor and that are called multi-effects pedals. And those multi-effects pedals go through a looper. So I'm able to create a loop and actually perform as a whole ensemble.
Well, very good. I mean, it's just fascinating. And I really hope we'll get some good pictures so I can post on Facebook later.
We'll do it.
I mean, that will be wonderful. And, well, let's go on now just a little bit to your recent work, Invisible Hands, for electric viola and chamber orchestra. And we're going to hear the second part of this, which is a substantial amount of music, relatively speaking. The composition was commissioned by the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia, conducted by Dirk Brosse, and was premiered on April 1st and 2nd of this year in Philadelphia. Tell us about this composition, because I've read basically it's more or less two pieces in one. Is that right?
Right. Well, it was created for, they had a series called Improvisionaries, and so on each concert had some sort of level of improvisation, and they actually asked me to propose an idea of a piece, and it's for me, whenever anybody asks me that, it's an opportunity to come up with something brand new.
Love it.
So I came up with the idea of actually creating two pieces in one, where the piece can be performed by the orchestra on its own, which it was, and then it can be performed with the soloist, which was myself, using the electric viola and all my electronic equipment, and also bringing improvisation to another level, even mm-hmm. that there is improvisation when the orchestra just does it. But it sort of puts it into context and expands the dimensionality when the electronics and the improvisations are expanded.
And this is part two of the work we're going to hear, correct?
Yeah, so we were calling it part one or two or version one or version two, but I think this is pretty much the go-to version.
The go-to, and you're performing in this.
I am the soloist in it, and it was a delight to
It was
work
a wonderful
with.
Concert.
Thank you.
I remember that. It was so exciting. What was so great, it was so exciting seeing new music, mm-hmm. really new, creative, innovative you know, stuff.
Yes. And, you know, it's not, a lot of orchestras are not really doing that. They're taking a chance. They're taking a risk because audiences, you know, they're not quite sure. And so I give the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia lots of credit and Maestro Dirk Brosse for inviting me to do this work. And it was a great hit, I think.
It was great. You know, it's interesting because there was a concert here just, was it 10 days ago, I guess, 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, 10 days ago, here in Princeton at the university, mm-hmm. where the members of the New Jersey Symphony were performing works by young... Oh, yes, that's
yes.
right, you were there. Yes, and you were there, and I know you had to run and catch your bus back. But I, you know what was amazing, Martha, about that, and I'm glad that's right, you were there. I don't know if you saw it from playing, I saw so many smiles and happy listeners enjoying that concert by young composers. And it was such a breath of fresh air. you know, I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was wonderful to, you know, to hear the music of these younger composers. And for those of us that were in the orchestra and there for the full week, we had another level of engagement because the conductor, David Robertson, was giving some great feedback. And Steve Mackey, who runs the Institute, giving great feedback and pointers to the composers that, you know, to have your piece played by an orchestra, it's really an amazing experience. And if you've never done it before, there are things you think you can do, or if you're playing into a music program like Sibelius or Finale, mm-hmm. and it plays it back MIDI, but it doesn't take into account...
It's different.
No, it doesn't take into account that the wind players need to breathe and, you know, string players vibrate at different levels and certain things, you know, you can't take the mute out. There's no time to take the mute out or put the mute on or things like that. So practical things.
Well, I thought it was absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It was wonderful. But let's go now to the second part of Invisible Hands. This is from the premiere.
This is from the premiere. The
soloist is my guest, Martha Mook, and we hear the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia, conducted by Dirk Brosse. And my guest is the soloist. I hope you all enjoy this. Music composed and performed by my guest, Martha Mook. And Martha, what did we just hear?
That was Invisible Hands, the world premiere performance by the Chamber Orchestra of Philadelphia, conducted by Dirk Brosset.
Very good. Well, very, very good. That was an exciting night.
It was really exciting. Surreal, in a way.
Yeah.
To be the composer and the soloist. It's a little bit sensory overload, but but I loved it. I really thrive on that.
How were the rehearsals in that? Was the orchestra receptive? Was it, you know, a unique experience? Were they comfortable?
Yeah, it did. It took a little while for us to get to know each other, because in their piece, they had to do a little bit of what's called non-traditional techniques. The string players, I had to do some demonstrating of things that they don't typically do in a Beethoven symphony or a Mozart symphony. Some percussive techniques with the bow or with the left hand. And a little bit of improvisation. So, you know, once we all came to terms with what we were doing there, and they got the sense of when I added the electric viola and the electronics and the sounds that filled up the hall and how everybody was really an integral part of the whole piece, it was really exciting, and they enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it, and the audience enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a wonderful evening. Wonderful, wonderful evening. Well, since many people have heard your music today, they might want to hear more and know more about you. And you have a wonderful website. Why don't you give us the address?
Yes. So you can pop into my website, which is marthamook.com, and it's Mook, M-O-O-K-E.com. And also on Instagram, you can find me by my name, or my handle is Elec Viola. And that's also my Twitter handle. So please give me a shout out. Let me know what you do. If you like the music, spread the word.
There are many wonderful videos on your site, too.
Yes, quite a lot. And I've got a YouTube channel as well with some pretty cool videos on there of things that I've done and people that I've played with over the years.
Yeah, it makes sense for someone, especially doing the electric viola, to be very active on social media in our 21st century.
Oh, yeah.
You have to today.
It's indispensable, I think, for anybody. But, you know, when you're trying to get the word out years ago I used to stamps and put them on postcards to send out to my mailing list.
What's a stamp?
A stamp, really. And they were probably, 30 cents back in those days.
Yeah, this is true.
So, yeah, it's I just put out a newsletter the other day and that's the way of the world now.
Yeah, it sure is. Well, also there will be a link to your website on the playlist for today's show on my website. And my website address is www.classicaldiscoveries.org. Well, I have a quick question. Your music is, of course, extremely unique. No question about that. It's very creative and absolutely wonderful. But I'm sure many strangers ask you, Martha, what is your music like? How do you respond?
Yeah, that's a question, the million-dollar question. I've struggled with that for a long time, back in the days when there was a Tower Records and everything had to go into a nice defined bin. You know, it was classical music, romantic music, new age music, or something music. And I always struggled because my music can sort of fit into three different bins or four different bins at the same time, depending on the piece that I'm creating. And I've never held myself back or, put barriers or frames around what I do. And in a sense, it's fueled my creativity, but it also may be a little bit in the way of getting the work out there if people don't quite know what to call
that
it.
That is a very interesting question, because it's not just for your music, but so many composers writing today who've gone through the normal conservatory training write music. I mean, you even think of people like Bang on a Can, Ethel, and all these groups and composers that have written for them. What type of music is it? And I think we've sometimes have become so... we're in little compartments too much.
Yeah, and I dealt with that many years ago. In fact, I'm a composer that I belong to ASCAP, and I struggled with where do I find myself. I'm not at that point. I wasn't writing for orchestras. I'm not writing concertos or symphonies and things. And they embraced that, and I came up with an idea to create a showcase and called it Through the Walls, and that was featuring classically based composer performers that were doing music that defied categorization. And that became a thing, and that was back in 2000 was when it really started to germinate. And we had people from all kinds of backgrounds of music there. And Tony Visconti, well-known rock and roll, legendary producer David Bowie, introduced it. And we had people from the concert world and the pop and jazz world that were involved in it. So that's just been my thing, is defying categorization. I guess I should have a T-shirt, a Superman logo.
I think it's so... today, it is so appropriate, though, to do that, because you don't. And, again, what you're trying to do when you're talking about be free, this is all related to that.
Right. And I think in a way now, the streaming services have sort of, in a way, embraced that knowingly or not by allowing playlists, to contain all kinds of music. It doesn't have to be just singer-songwriters or just jazz or just one kind of music. So in a way, everybody's become their own DJ by putting these playlists together. And so, again, you know, I think every few years music goes through this whole big redefinition and self-evaluation. And we're deep in the midst of that right now.
Yeah, that is. That's for sure. Well, I just want to let everybody know that you are tuned to WPRB 103.3 FM. Or online around the world at www.wprb.com. And you are listening to Classical Discoveries, which is heard every Wednesday morning from 5 until 11 a.m. And I just want to thank you all so much for joining me today. Well, Martha, one of the things I feel that makes your work very special, as we're kind of alluding to now, is the variety of styles you employ and the various influences one experiences when listening to your music. Now, these influences come from other countries often, and we're going to go to a fascinating, and I have to say, an extremely mesmerizing, gorgeous composition, and I am so glad we're going to be able to get that on now.
Great.
It's called Gate Gate. How would describe a little bit, and we'll hear your performance.
Right. Well, you know, over the years, I've been involved through Philip Glass in the Tibet House benefit concerts every year at Carnegie Hall, and I've gotten to work with amazing musicians, including a list of Tibetan musicians throughout the years, and one of them in particular has returned several years, Tenzin Chogyal, and we've really formed a bond. We're great friends, and he's been very influential in some of the music we've performed with him. I've created arrangements for him, for his work, and